The front door of the diner swung open, the antique bell jingling from its cradle of duct tape and zip ties. Steve walked in, sporting a heavily worn Star Wars t-shirt and ragged cargo shorts, and as usual, he had a folded newspaper tucked under his arm. After giving the counter one last ceremonial wipe, I swung the towel over my shoulder, grabbed an empty coffee cup and the carafe, then moved out to greet him. "Dare I ask?" I set the cup down on the table and then filled it with the coffee as Steve opened his paper. He gave me a sharp grin while he found his desired page. Local politics, as usual. But if Steve had opinions or political leanings, he never shared them here, unlike so many others. Steve proceeded to smooth down the paper's creases, adjust his silverware, and finally move his coffee cup to its correct and precise position on the table. I waited patiently. He wasn't a regular. Calling him that would be an insult to his commitment to the place. No, Steve was a staple, as much as the permanent stained coffee pot rings on the old wooden counter, or the patina on the vintage 1960s Formica tabletops. The diner was seasoned in decades of burger grease, fry oil splatter, and coffee fumes.
"Bring me my usual, Marco,"
Steve said, once he was finally ready.
"A double with fries," I confirmed.
Clearing his throat, Steve half turned toward me, his gray eyes peering over the top of his readers.
"And a glass of Coke for after your coffee," I said before he could add it himself.
"We are creatures of habit,"
he chuckled and took a sip from his cup.
"Best coffee right here, Marco. Never change it. Hell, never wash those machines. You'll ruin the taste."
"Wouldn't think of it. Sounds kind of like desecrating a historic landmark," I joked.
He gave me a salute with his cup.
"That's why I like you. Your priorities are straight. Say, did you decide on your major yet? What's the word?"
"Not yet," I admitted. "Still bouncing between a handful. Maybe accounting or English."
"Those seem like polar opposites, don't they?"
I laughed. "Yeah, I guess they do."
"Well, you'll figure it out. Maybe you can be like your uncle and start your own arcade."
"Maybe I could," I said.
"If you do, give me a holler. I'll be your first customer."
Steve shifted in his booth, looked behind him, then jabbed a thumb toward the arcade in the back.
"No rush on that double, by the way. I think I'm going to switch things up and throw a couple quarters at Galaga."
I nodded.
"Sounds good. I'll let you know when it's ready. Go get those aliens."
He smiled, pushed his way out of the booth, then with steaming coffee firmly in hand, casually made his way to the collection of old arcade machines in the back. Galaga stood in the center of the sizable collection, dozens of vintage machines hand-picked by my Uncle Mike. He'd started collecting them just weeks after buying the diner, and didn't slow down until he ran out of room. The arcade machines didn't bring in oodles of money or any noticeable foot traffic, but they were his passion, and each one symbolized a significant point in time in his life. Mike had driven 100 miles to collect Centipede, Galaga, and Balloon Fight. He'd taken ownership of the Pac-Man games, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and X-Men when the local Pizza Hut closed their dining room and moved to a pickup and delivery model. Gauntlet Legends and a few newer machines rounded out the collection, but they were finicky and required more tinkering and reboots than the rest. Like Steve's double cheeseburger meal, they were all classics, tested and vetted through decades of play, grown into nostalgic ornaments of the establishment, further tempered by shared triumphs and spilled beer. They also helped turn me into a fan of retro gaming, despite my age. I'd never lived through the 80s, but I was certain I would have loved it. I'd spent countless hours by now with each of the old machines, mostly during the lull between breakfast and lunch crowds, when traffic was low. Occasionally, Mike would throw down the gauntlet, not the game, but the challenge, and we'd bang away at Centipede long after closing for the night. Although it only worked for Mike for a little over 6 months, I'd practically grown up in this restaurant. As a point of pride, there were 33 machines in the diner, and I'd already claimed the high score on 16 of them. I scribbled out Steve's order on my pad and fell into my rhythm. The top white copy got stuck on a circular set by the food window to the kitchen.